Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we have Master Gardener Jan Peterzelka joining us again today. Welcome back, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Well, before we get on to our topic for today, we want to once again promote the Home Gardening in El Paso course being presented by the Master Gardeners at El Paso Community College as part of their continuing education courses. Tell us one more time about these courses.
Sure, definitely. This is the Master Gardener class that our Speakers Bureau teaches. They teach it three times a year, fall, spring, and summer. And it's a great way to be able to learn about how to successfully garden in El Paso. All of the speakers are El Paso Master Gardeners. So all of the materials that they do cover is applicable to our growing area, to our climate. And the really great thing about that is that it's held on Saturday mornings. And every Saturday, you have a different speaker and a different topic that you're covering. So it's a great way to be able to really pull out the highlights of what people are really interested in learning about, so trees, grass, and vegetables, container gardening, those real big highlights that people are really interested in. And we just go out there and have the talk. So at the Valle Verde campus, which is one of the most centrally located campuses in El Paso. So if you have some time on Saturday mornings this fall, I'd encourage you to sign up for the class.
And the classes are September 10th through October 29th. You can register pretty much almost up until the last minute.
Yeah.
September 9th is the last day you can submit that registration form. We'll have a link on it on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if you've ever wanted to meet Jan Peterzelka, this is your opportunity to do so.
Well, I actually alternate with one of our other master gardeners. So if you want to meet me, I think you're going to have to meet me in the spring.
I don't believe
I'm on for the fall semester.
But we do know that Jan does teach that course.
We love it. It's lots of fun.
So again, go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org for more information, and I'll have that link posted online. Well, we were talking last week about ways to, sort of attract hummingbirds to our gardens. And so we wanted to sort of to branch off that topic and how to sort of keep certain critters from certain parts of our yard. And I think we're thinking more of our domestic animals or dogs and cats who might get a little bit too creative in our gardens as far as maybe digging an extra hole.
Right, exactly. And don't get me wrong, people in El Paso do have issues with deer.
That's true.
We're just going to talk a little bit about, dogs and cats today. And I recently got a puppy for my children.
Yay.
I was waiting for them to get a little bit older to be more responsible and have, the benefits of taking care of a pet. So we're going through another cycle right now. So I have a little puppy who's certainly rambunctious, curious, excited, wants to be into everything. And he definitely is a garden dog. I think dogs need to spend time outside.
Is he busy aerating your yard?
Yeah, he's all over the place. But we have really gotten, looking at gardening in a different way as well, too, because we're like, okay, now how do we keep him out of the places that we don't want him to be while still keeping him healthy and getting some well-deserved fresh air? So we're at the point now where we're at the end of the summer season, and he certainly had his fair share of cherry tomatoes that he seems to just likes to, take.
He's
them
vegan.
He pulls them off to the side and he gets, and then so of course I'm constantly researching and trying to see what is toxic to him, because you see it through a different lens now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I saw that tomatoes were an issue and could cause, some gastric issues with dogs. And apparently, and the more that you look into it and all the different resources that are out there, a lot of it really has to do with the plant parts. So, you have a total leaf plant and maybe only once portion of that plant can be toxic to plants. And it also really is on the time of the year as well. So if that particular plant is flowering or setting fruit, that's another issue you want to look into. It could be fine all over the entire time of the year, but if it's flowering, that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then also ultimately it's the victim. I mean, the size of the pet, how much he consumes, all of these different factors that come into that. So we really pull together a comprehensive list for our listeners to be able to look at and reference. But it's important to keep those factors in mind when you're planting your garden. And I don't want you to go up there and dig up all your plants just because you got a puppy. That's not the case.
Well, there are, unless you have a dog that will eat pretty much everything in sight. There is a really long list of plants that are allegedly toxic to dogs, either deadly and or perhaps just will make give them a tummy ache or a little bit of diarrhea or, you know, put them in a very ill state, but without causing death. I guess there's just varying degrees of the toxicity of these plants. But that doesn't mean you don't have to plant them. You know, if your dog or cat isn't going to be eating any of these plants, I don't think you really have anything to worry about when it comes to planting them in your garden. But there is one plant in particular I think most of us know is toxic to, well, people and pets. That's oleander.
Absolutely.
Right.
One leaf, according to the research that I read just yesterday, one leaf can be fatal. And you don't really think about it, but there are folks that have used the stems of the oleander plant. And, of course, we see lots and lots of them here in El Paso. They bloom. They're very, very pretty, but they're very toxic to everybody. They use the stems of these oleanders on their barbecue over an open fire and stick a hot dog on the end of it. And there are actually several documented cases of death due to that. So I think it's a matter of being smart, you know, and, of course, we want to teach our animals to do that as well and train them, both dogs and cats and horses, you know, call the doctor, call the vet, and your kids as well. Right. There are certain plants that are very attractive to kiddos and to animals because they have berries. I believe pyracantha is another one that's toxic. Okay. And so, you know, you have to be really careful and educate yourself and educate your kids and, you know, and don't be throwing those plant, like if you're deadheading or whatever, don't be putting those where your animals can get to them.
That's true. That's very true.
And I think it makes a big difference as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's using that sense of common sense.
Exactly.
And keeping everything safe and away from, you know, pets and people as well. And I think also if you kind of look generally, plants that are in the euphorbia family that have that milky sap, commonly poinsettias in the wintertime, but there's a lot of plants that are in that family as well. And even that, a lot of those plants that I saw in those lists were in that same family, but they're even, you know, skin irritants. And if you're not wearing your gloves, you'll get that, you know, itchy kind of, you know, almost like a rash.
Rashy type thing. And I was amazed at the number ones because you've heard me speak many times about my love of succulents and things like some of the Kalanchoes. There's one, the mother of thousands, that just is wonderful because it almost propagates and germinates all by itself. And it's another one that's toxic. So, and the euphorbias, we've talked about a lot, the gopher plant, many of those succulents that we do promote here in El Paso because they're water conservators, so forth and so on. So don't be chewing on them for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And always kind of deter them and give them toys and things to play with so they're not interested in exploring in your area.
And exercise is also so important because, you know, animals, especially dogs, if you're leaving them outside for too long or even inside, if they don't have that physical stimulation, if they don't get that exercise, they're going to be wanting to dig holes. You're going to be wanting to get into everything and possibly eat stuff that may not even be that appetizing to them, but just because they're bored and have all that restless energy, they're going to do that, and it could be to their detriment. So it's always so important to exercise your pets, and sometimes just having them in the yard running after a ball is not enough. Depending on the breed, I know, Denise, your breed of dog, it needs a lot of exercise.
Always outside, always running, always outside in our park, everything, because he definitely needs to get that stimulation and out there, else it turns into a behavioral issue. And then entire family suffers, and most importantly, the dog is going to end up suffering because people may not want to keep their dog when they realize that he just needs exercise.
That's right.
He just needs some, to use some of that brain power.
That's right. All you got to do is have him learn a few games, walk him a few times a day, and you're probably going to have a much happier, healthier dog
family
in your hands. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the whole family.
I was amazed in reading all this information that digitalis is another thing that's commonly found in many of these plants. And, of course, that's a very important medical thing because that's what, you know, many cardiologists use to regulate heartbeats so forth and so on. So if, and I can't remember off the top of my, there were so many. I was appalled at the number of things that can be toxic to our domestic pets, but you know, it can increase their heart rate, and that can be very dangerous. So, you know, if you're not sure, certainly look at this list. I imagine that Norma will put a link up for us.
Absolutely.
But Google that information and find out about those plants and see, are they, you know, ask the question, are they toxic to my pets?
Well, like Denise was saying earlier, like her dog was eating cherry tomatoes and turned out to be okay.
Right.
You know, lantana is on the list of toxic plants. And I have a 15-year-old dog who's been eating lantana the whole time he's been with me. He just chews on a few of the leaves, sort of works his way around, but he doesn't, you know, eat down the whole plant. So, again, it's also a matter of, you know, the size of the dog, how much they can tolerate. Obviously, he thinks lantana is yummy, and we've never discouraged him because we've never noticed. Always observe your dog, obviously, if they're going in there and if you see they're getting sick. That's a major problem.
Well, and another plant that surprised me was rhubarb.
Yeah, I saw that on there as well.
People from the Midwest do grow a lot of rhubarb and make wonderful rhubarb pies, and you use the stem, and that's the fruit of that plant. But the leaf is very toxic.
Right.
One of the highest on the list. I was fascinated.
For both humans and pets.
Yes, not for all of us. Mm-hmm. So very interesting information to research.
Well, I'm getting ready to start my fall garden. And that's one thing with having a puppy that I'm looking to see. How do I exclude them from my newly seeded beds? Because a lot of fall vegetables are direct sow.
Sure.
You know, put the greens out there.
And once you have that fresh earth,
he's going to love it.
Compost.
So I'm looking into putting in chicken wire fence and lay that over the bed itself. And then hopefully to exclude him. And then that once the plant gets established, I'm going to slowly remove the chicken wire. So I'll keep you all posted to see how we do on that, and hopefully we grow out of the puppy stage.
You know, a chicken wire is also very effective if you just have a dog who just likes to dig. You know, you just put that chicken wire covered up with some dirt, and it's obviously going to discourage them from digging that one particular spot. Or if you find a dog that likes to squeeze in between your gates to escape, you know, little chicken wire is a very effective tool in controlling where your pets should and shouldn't be in your yard.
It's good for turtles, too, because they are escape artists. And, of course, they burrow down under fences, so you have to really be careful. But, you know, you were talking about the chicken wire. Another thing I think that really helps with in your winter garden, I love to plant lettuce. I have 3 big pecan trees in my backyard, so I have lots of birds. Guess what? The birds like the lettuce. So, you know, kind of keeping them. And I'm all about sharing, but I get the salad first. And so that's another good use for covering your garden with.
Right.
And maybe a raised bed, depending on how high it's raised, might discourage your dog.
Yeah, my roommate's not going to help. Yeah, you're not going to help.
He could leap buildings in a single bound,
He'll
right?
leap over that. So, just to talk about our pets also, you don't want to make sure, don't put any of your pet waste into your compost bin.
Right.
So number one no-no on that. And also, it's not just your plants, but also keep an eye on your pesticides or herbicides or any other garden chemicals. I mean, keep those away from your kids and your pets at all times. It's just not safe to have any of that stuff laying around.
I'll have links to these toxic plants on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Just don't freak out when you see every other plant in the universe listed on that link. Just remember, if your animal isn't indulging in any of these plants, I think you're going to be okay in keeping it in your yard. Kids and animals, if they're not eating the berries off of your pyracantha, I think you're going to be okay.
I think it goes back to that common sense thing that we talked about. Just be judicious about your plants.
Well, Jan Peterzelka, it's been great having you back in the studio.
Thanks a bunch, Norma.
And we also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. And if you have any questions, you can call the Master Gardeners at 771-2354, 771-2354. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.